Dante's Divine Comedy begins with this sentence. Midway upon the journey of life, I found myself within a forest dark, for the straightforward pathway had been lost. The poem is, of course, an allegory written in the Middle Ages about salvation. But even now, 7 centuries later, we can identify with that opening line because we have also experienced our own life's pathway, if not exactly lost, at least at times, not nearly as clear or straightforward as we might have expected it would be. Life is what happens, as the saying goes. How often are we on a path in the middle of a life plan, sometimes a plan with a specific goal in sight, only to have the path veer off in a direction we never expected? I was on a path, raising young children and starting divinity school and feeling stretched right to the limit when my mother unexpectedly had a stroke. I put school on hold, not knowing when or how I'd get back to it. But in the following months, the immediacy of the crisis passed, as crises do, and my mother slowly recovered sufficiently so that in the middle of it all, I was able to go back to school the next year. Paths swerve, and not just for a few of us, but for everyone, even the most disciplined and the famous, too. Governor Romney's path veered in a direction he had not expected, and certainly David Petraeus had expected a far longer career as director of the CIA. Staying with the famous and disciplined for a moment, the person who, for me, at least currently, exemplifies life in the middle of things is Marissa Mayer, the new president and CEO of Yahoo, who stepped into that demanding public job in July and had her first baby in September. Was she in the middle of starting a family and suddenly have this remarkable job opportunity come her way? Or was she in the middle of negotiating for that position at Yahoo and then found she was pregnant? Or did she choose both options at once? Ready or not, we often find ourselves right smack in the middle of things, whether on a well-planned and plotted path or on a path we never expected taking. And here's the thing about being in the middle of things. It's so easy, so very easy, to miss the moment at hand and never think to look up at the sky and only rarely, if ever, notice the movement of clouds. In his poem, Aristotle, contemporary poet Billy Collins, talks about the middle of things when he writes, "Things have had time to get complicated, messy, really. Nothing is simple anymore. This is the thick of times. So much is crowded in the middle." Now, as we move into the middle of this season, this holiday season, we can expect to feel, well, crowded with all of the pressure that the season brings. And that's true whether we are invited out too often or not enough, whether we feel burdened or even delighted by family traditions or saddened by the loss of them, whether we can afford to shop and buy gifts or whether we can't, whether we welcome and embrace the season or wish we could pass it by altogether. Wherever we may be on that spectrum, we are headed right into the middle. I'm probably not alone in having had Decembers that I've just dreaded. And I've had Decembers that were lovely and turned out just the way I hoped they would. Every year is not the same. A colleague once wrote an open letter to her congregation in her newsletter after Christmas, saying, "You were perfect. The dinner you served was perfect. The gifts you gave were perfect. Your decorations were perfect. The party you hosted was perfect. And the snowflake cookies were perfect." I thought it was a charming way of saying, "It's over, you did it, and now it's a new year." And that's one way of managing the holidays, by just getting through them as best we can. On my off December years, I will confess to creating on the spot, for no one else's ears, my own version of what to me are the most egregious holiday commercials. If I were to do that this year, the Buick commercial, where a couple rushes out into the street so he can surprise her with a brand new small shiny car. She throws her arms around him and in delight and thanks. But just as she does, she sees a larger car, a Buick, drive by and immediately loses interest in the gift she's just been given. Now, please know that speaking as your interim minister, my message of the season to you is not to follow my somewhat cynical lead and rewrite Christmas commercials, unless you want to. My message is just the opposite, and it applies to all of us, whether it's a year when plans are set and we're looking forward to all of the customs and traditions of the season, or whether it's a year for whatever reason we're wishing we could fast forward the calendar right to the first day of the new year. My message to each of us is simply this: take time to slow down and be present to the quiet and the beauty of the season, whether in the glow of candles or music that touches the depth of your soul, or in the silence that invites in memories. And maybe those memories will bring tears because they're filled with loss of the people now gone for your life. Or maybe those memories will bring laughter and a sense of delight. And maybe they'll bring hope for what lies ahead. If we let them, both Hanukkah and Christmas can draw us to a different place, a place our spirits long for, because each tradition in its own way invites us to stillness. The late Peter Gomes says that Advent is meant to be the sobering antidote to the Christmas cheer of the season, because it is an exercise in endurance, in preparation for the long journey to a time and a place where we have not yet been. How do the legends speak to you with their stories of miraculous happenings, of oil lasting 8 long days and nights, and a story of angels and shepherds and a newborn in a manger? Is there a way that we too can thrill to the possibility of miracles and mystery and all that is wondrous? In this darkest time of year, when the earth grows bare and the nights are long, the familiar lessons and legends are comforting, for they hold out to us invitations to patience and to waiting and to contemplation. It is a meaningful time because it's a time when we're reminded that life has its own rhythms. It's meaningful because it's a time that speaks of stars, and because it does, we do tend to look up at the night sky. And it's a meaningful time because in keeping these legends alive, we too are bearers of myth and tellers of tales, lovers of story, attendants to the holy, singers of songs, and vehicles of life and of love. And then, when the season ends and the trees lay bare and discarded at the curbs, and cards no longer arrive, and the menorah is packed away, and the snowflake cookies are no more, and we are right back in the middle of things, let us remember to call up these gifts of the season, patience and waiting and contemplation, and make time to ponder the willow tree and the right hand of God. You can probably tell that I am intrigued at how Marissa Mayer found herself so in the middle of things. But I'm also aware that if she happened to be male instead of female, it would not have been sensational news this summer that a new CEO of Yahoo was about to be a new father, nor would he be seen as attempting to have it all, nor would it have been a story that would have made its way into this sermon. But still, gender aside, the paths of any of our lives are rarely straightforward. And as Adrienne Rich reminds us, we take on everything at once. Before we've even begun to read or mark time, we are forced to begin in the midst of the hardest movement. And so it is. And here, finally, is the final message of the sermon. Just because we are always in the middle of things is not a good enough reason not to begin doing that thing which will enrich our lives, or to not pursue what it is our hearts desire, or to not explore uncharted territory, because we will always be in this place, in the middle of things, that messy, crowded middle, whatever the time of year, whatever the season. And wherever the path may lead us, may our hearts gladden at the mystery and the struggle and the wonder of the journey. So may it be. Amen.